Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning. You all right? Monday, Monday. Another day, another dollar. Another week, another dollar. Another chance to put right what once went wrong. It has just ticked past 8 in the a.m. on the 22nd of June in the year of our Lord 2026. It was summer solstice yesterday, wasn't it? Longest day of the year yesterday. So very nearly the longest day of the year today. It was sweltering. Set to be hot. We'll talk about it. We'll get into it. I'm not joined by my producer, Little Harry, this morning. He's off all week. Instead, I'm joined by Jack. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm beside myself. He's gone. Starmer's out.
Is he actually already gone? He hasn't made the actual call yet, has he?
He's on his way out.
Yeah.
I'm so upset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, I was considering wearing a black suit, black tie, get a black armband. In memorandum, the career of Sir Keir Starling, the Starlingbot 2.0. But okay, thank you for joining me. You are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. How good was Dan on Friday? Were you fooled by him at the beginning when he's pretending to be me? The master of disguise, Dan Tubb. It's one of the things a lot of people don't know about him, that he's a master of disguise. Very, very, very clever disguise. Almost indistinguishable from the real thing, the real article. But I'm back. You're in safe hands. Relax. All right. Should we stop faffing about, though? Should we stop all this fannying around and just get straight into it? Okay. So today might see the collapse of Keir Starmer's leadership, like completely, properly, formally. The papers go with two things, but they're the same thing. Starmer expected to announce exit and game over. Game over, man. Game over. Hudson from Aliens. Anybody? Bill Paxton? No?
I got that.
Okay, good. Okay, you got it. It's good. That's good enough for me. Okay, game over, man. So it's one story. Every single front page is the same story. Because it may well be that during the recording of this, but probably more like 11 a.m. or midday, something like that, Starmer will come out of number 10. They'll put a lectern there. All the press is waiting there already. They've been there since like 6 a.m. or earlier, waiting. They'll bring out a little lectern, put it in the street, just in front of number 10. Obviously, down the street itself is a closed street. They'll put a lectern there, and then he'll come out, and he'll say something like, it's been the privilege of my life to be the Prime Minister. I think I've done a good job. I've done X, Y, Z over, you know, I nearly gave Chagos away and I got abortion up to birth done. It wasn't that great. You know, he'll say a number of things about how brilliant he thinks his government has been. But unfortunately, I don't have the numbers to continue. It's very unfortunate, but I no longer have the support of my cabinet. Da, 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 and so I'll set out a thing. That's likely to happen today. It's quite likely. In fact, even Trump, was it? Yeah, on this Truth Social, look, yesterday, the Donald said, Keir Starmer will resign as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He failed badly on two very important subjects. He failed badly, immigration and energy. Open North Sea oil, exclamation mark, in brackets. I wish him well. Yeah, right. President Donald J. Trump. Yeah, right. So, Trump probably wouldn't have posted that unless he had some sort of decent knowledge, insider knowledge. All right, so it's all on the front page. There's one thing I will say. I said to you guys, didn't I, that I would read Mr. Lowe's rape gang inquiry report and then talk about it. Well, I have done so. I read bits of it last week, in midweek or Thursday, Friday, and over Saturday and Sunday, I read it all. So I have read it all now, and I'll talk about it after we get through this, what's in the news cycle here about Sir Keir Starling. I will talk to you all about it. It's a long read. I mean, it's 219 odd pages. A lot of those are like appendix at the end, but look, 180 odd of those pages is, you know, content. So I'll talk to you guys all about that after we get through what is in the main news cycle, which is dominated by No Sternum Burnham and Sir Keir Starling. All right, so first of all, The Guardian. The Guardian. Why do they have to put it first so often? Too early. Anyway, The Guardian. Starmer expected to announce exit to clear way for Burnham. PM to set out plan today with autumn departure the most likely option. You know, this is still rumour, basically rumour. Some people this morning on the telly, on the real life telly box, they were saying that only a very small number of people, like, you know, like half a dozen people, really know exactly what Keir Starmer's going to say this morning. But they're expecting it to be his exit, and they're expecting him to say, and again, when it actually happens, we might get something different. They're expecting him to say something like, I will stay on for another 2-3 months in order to set up, you know, a reasonable transitional period so that Andy Burnham can just be coronated into number 10 rather than go through a whole leadership rigmarole. But that does mean that I, Sir Keir Starmer, will stay on, will be Prime Minister for the next couple of months, a good few weeks yet. But, like, I no longer have the support of basically all the cabinet and the more than half the party, and hardly anyone in the country at large. Okay. The Mirror. There we go. There's a picture of him sitting all alone. PM weighing up options. Apparently he spent the weekend at Chequers. Again, that's the prime ministerial retreat in the country. Big country house. Probably one of his last chances to go there. He's weighing up options as rival Burnham returns and supporters desert him, Starmer. But Andy Burnham in a polo shirt, jeans and sandals. Ooh. Don't do that. If you're gonna wear sandals, don't do it with jeans and a polo tie. Oh, that's just me. Call me old fashioned, all right. He's expected to set out exit timetable, but could try and stay on for 3 months. Game over. Game over, man. Game over. Let's rip through them a bit because it's all the same story. The Daily Tory graph. Burnham plans to be in number 10 by September. Starmer expected to resign today and allow an orderly handover to Challenger's team. Quick other story. Iranians exit peace talks after Trump's verbal assault. What's that? What's that about? Well, if we go on just the normal BBC news, they're saying, look, they're reporting, first round of US-Iran talks ends with encouraging progress, mediators say. The BBC went with the angle, the story that it's all going well and it's all good. But if we look, I think it was on The Express. Should we have a quick look at The Express? Yeah, on The Express. Iran leaves negotiations after Trump's assassination threat. That he will blow the S out of them. S-H-I-T. Iran, let's just quickly read this pretty short article, but let's just read this. It's an intermission from all the Starmer stuff, real quick. Iran says its delegation will not return to the negotiating table in Switzerland talks, until the US president personally apologises. What did he say? What did the Donald do? What did he say? Okay, it wasn't exactly an explicit assassination threat, but it was a threat. Let's just quickly read it. It's only a few paragraphs. Iran has abandoned peace negotiations in Switzerland with a delegation from the Middle Eastern nation refusing to return to peace talks until US President Donald Trump apologises for what appeared to be a threat to assassinate Iran's team of negotiators on Sunday. According to Fox News, Trump said he told Iranian officials, "You close the strait and you won't have a country. You won't even make it back to your effing country. We'll take over the rest of this country." Okay. "We may take over the strait if we have to. I'll blow the SHIT out of them." In a Truth Social post, the president wrote, "Iran must immediately stop their highly paid proxies in Lebanon from causing trouble." Good luck with that. I don't feel like Tehran controls Hezbollah to that extent. I might be wrong. You know, I've read about it for years. I remember being in my very early 20s reading about Hezbollah. I've quizzed Faraz a little bit about Hezbollah. Obviously, he's an actual Lebanese man. And a fair bit about Hezbollah, I like to think, anyway. Well, it's probably slightly more than the average person, let's put it that way. No expert, but I'm not sure. I don't think Tehran actually control them on a minute-to-minute basis. Okay. But Iran must immediately stop their highly paid proxies in Lebanon from causing trouble. If they don't, we'll hit Iran very hard again, just like we did last week, only harder. Negotiators have taken the comments made by the 47th president of the United States as a direct assassination threat and, as a result, are refusing to engage in peace talks until Trump apologises for his tirade. Iran has also stated that Israel must fully withdraw its troops from southern Lebanon. Is Bibi going to do that? Will Bibi do that? In addition to Trump's apology to see the Gulf nation return to peace talks, Trump's verbal attack against Iranian officials comes after military officials from the Islamic Republic announced on Saturday that Iran would again close the Strait of Hormuz due to violations of the tentative peace deal between the two nations. Iranian officials have confirmed their delegation has walked away from peace talks in a statement shared on state-backed Iranian news agency Tasnim. Translated to English, the statement says, "The Iranian delegation has expressed its protest to the American side and is now reviewing an appropriate response to Donald Trump's recent verbal threats." The statement added that any form of threat is considered a serious violation of the already fragile ceasefire agreement currently in effect between the US and Iran. It was unclear which of Trump's statements they were specifically referring to during a phone call on Sunday with Fox News' Trey Yinst. Trump was told that the Iranian president, Masoud Pezeshkian, said Iran will maintain its right to enrich uranium. That's the ye olde sticking point, isn't it? If you believe that later point, Iran's still saying, "We want to enrich uranium for ourselves to whatever grade we see fit." Trump replied that, quote, "He better watch his mouth." It's not funny, really, is it? It's of dire seriousness. "You better watch your mouth." And, quote, "He better shape up or we'll take over the rest of the country," quote. "You'd shut your mouth if you know it's good for your buddy." All right. The US president went on to describe the memorandum of understanding between the US and Iran as just an option. "I can do whatever I want after that option," Trump added. Prior to Iran's withdrawal from peace talks in Geneva, US Vice President J.D. Vance and Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, had met with senior Iranian officials alongside mediators from Qatar and Pakistan to discuss the finer details of the current peace agreement. Okay, there's a few more details, but that's basically it. Okay, so those negotiations seeming kind of shaky, aren't they? And yet, look, the BBC 1 hour ago reporting that, no, it's all good, encouraging progress. It's all encouraging. It's all good. Okay. We could have guessed, couldn't we, that these 60-day negotiations for a final peace deal would be a bit of a rocky road. All right. Back to London, back to Westminster and No Stern and Burnham versus the Keir bot, the Starmer bot. Burnham plans to be a number 10 by September. Okay. The Independent, oh, they mentioned it was summer solstice yesterday. Look, people at Stonehenge, every year, they go to Stonehenge. Starmer plots his final exit as Trump says he will resign. PM makes plans to step down while US President declares him gone, saying, I wish him well. That's got to be sarcastic, isn't it, from Trump? I wish him well. Yeah, right. It's got to be. You've got to read that as him being sarcastic, haven't you, I think. As calls grow for proper leadership contest amid fears of Andy Burnham coronation. Well, you can't have it both ways. Is he going to be coronated in, i.e. there's no actual leadership contest, it's just he's next, like Gordon Brown? Or will somebody like Wesley Streeting, the Right Honourable Wesley Streeting MP, force some sort of actual leadership contest? Seems like Burnham's got the numbers and all the momentum, though, doesn't it? It seems like that. Okay, The Sun. PM is poised to quit as soon as today. Trump announces Keir's resignation early. Done and dusted. Like done and dusted, done and dusted. Clever, isn't it? Clever wordplay. Very, very clever. The Times, the venerable Times. There's Glastonbury tour there. And loads of people gathering for the sunrise on summer solstice yesterday. Nice picture there, isn't it? Trump warns of hitting Iran hard as peace talks wobble. Wibble. Burnham aiming for PM coronation by September. Starmer mulls future at Chequers with wife. Challenger to show he has backing of 200 MPs. You know, if that's the case, Starmer hasn't really got a leg to stand on, has he? It's not really worth going through the sort of trauma of a leadership contest when he's going to lose it, if that's true. Okay, the Daily Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Okay. With Starmer poised to quit, Tories warn that Andy Burnham could be even worse. Might not be wrong. Does that ultimately mean, even though it hurts the country, that Labour get trounced harder than they would otherwise have done in 2029, if that's when the next general election is? Brace yourself for more reckless tax and spend. I mean, a note here to say, right, about when the Prime Minister is changed, the leader of the party, ruling party, is changed between parliaments, or in the middle of a parliament, rather. Is that okay? Is that fair? I remember even when I was 10, 11 years old, when John Major took over from Thatcher. Thatcher was cooed out of power in like 1990 or 1991. I think it was over the Christmas New Year period. I think it was 1991 anyway. And John Major took over and didn't call a general election. I remember thinking even then, even when I was like 10, 11 years old, i.e. just a little kid, doesn't really know anything about politics. Certainly doesn't know about parliamentary procedure or anything. Just feeling innately, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. You've got a whole new leader who can and does set policy however they like, and nobody got to vote for that exactly. Only the people in John Major's constituency ever voted for him. The whole rest of the country were just being ruled by somebody else that we just never voted for. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. Even a child can understand that, right? Yeah. When Gordon Brown, he got a coronation, didn't he? After Tony Blair. They didn't have to go through the rigmarole of any sort of leadership contest that time. Again, so Gordon Brown, you're going to call a general election though, aren't you? No. No. I'm just going to sit here in power without a mandate. Now, Theresa May bucked that trend, didn't she? Theresa May did call an election, didn't she? To her credit. Boris didn't. Truss wasn't going to. Rishi didn't. Burnham almost certainly won't. He has said a number of times on record he's not going to. He might, though, mightn't he? But probably won't. He said he won't. That's why I think probably it will lead to a worse defeat at the ballot box in 2029 because people hate it. People hate it, don't they? It's not really fair. It's not right, I don't think. Most people feel that way, don't they? I said before, if I magically found myself in that position, I would call a general election. I couldn't be head of government without a mandate from the people. I could not do it. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. It would feel like I was a usurper. If King Bumham the First and his guyliner wants to rule as a usurper, a cuckoo in the nest, essentially, without a mandate, well, okay, mate, okay. The country will let you know at the ballot box when eventually you allow us that. We'll let you know at the ballot box how we feel about all of that. Okay, the Financial Times, even the FT, quite often go with something different, don't they? Even they're going with Starmer on brink of stepping down as Burnham heads for Westminster. Cabinet rebellion grows. Trump says PM failed badly. Ministers call for exit date to be set. Even Yvette Cooper, apparently, was said, you've got to go, dude. The writing's on the wall, bro. I paraphrase. I doubt she used those exact words. Okay, the Eye paper. Bumham's stark ultimatum to Starmer. Resign or face mass Labour walkouts. Prime Minister on brink of quitting number 10 as support drains away. Keir Starmer could announce his resignation from office as soon as today with reports he is deliberating. Is he? Allies of leadership rival Andy Burnham will tell MP to go if he has not set out exit timetable by tomorrow night. So the Eye paper, a little bit more detail than a lot of the other ones, that he's got till tomorrow night before Andy Burnham pulls the trigger on a leadership contest, formal leadership contest. Burnham will be sworn in as MP for Makerfield today after warning that Labour has final chance to change. It's their final chance. It's no Stern and Burnham's final countdown. Pressure mounts on Starmer after Foreign Secretary, it's Yvette Cooper, isn't it? Tells him to quit and Trump claims Keir will resign. Okay, the Daily Mail. There's Andy Burnham. These sandals. With Starmer a dead man walking, politically, allies of PM in waiting, no Stern and Burnham, say it's time to break manifesto promises on income tax and VAT. Now rip up tax pledges, Labour left to tell Burnham. See, this is why people hate it. For what it's worth, for what the Labour manifesto was worth, that Starmer stood on at the last general election, for what that was worth, which wasn't a great deal, they're not even going to keep up the pretext of even remotely doing anything close to that. So a change in policy that nobody in the country, outside of the good people of Makerfield, got any say in. People hate that. If your ultimate goal, you're not a Labour diehard, your ultimate goal is to see Labour ruined at the ballot box. All this is good. I mean, it will come at the expense of the country for the next 2 years, but all this is good. Right? People despise this. Messiah complex? And his heatwave sandals. Messiah complex. Okay. Get me out of Keir. Like he's in the jungle. Like, I'm a prime minister. Get me out of here. Get me out of Keir. Hilarious. Oh, look, Cliff. It's the star, so it's pure slop. Sitcom legend, Cliff from Cheers. Zoomers won't have probably ever watched Cheers. Like, sorry, how old are you again, Jack? You're in your late 20s, right?
Yeah, I'm 28.
28. Did you know Cheers? Did you ever watch Cheers? Is that before your time?
Well, before. I've never heard of it, really.
You never really heard of it? Oh, feel old yet? I mean, the earliest Cheers is like deep in the 80s, isn't it? Even, but anyway. Where everybody knows your name. Cheers to England. So Cliff, the actor who played Cliff, he's still alive. Look, he's still alive. And England's next game, which I believe is tomorrow night, I think is in Boston. Cheers is famously like a Bostonian thing, isn't it? The bar, the pub, Cheers, is in Boston. And the actor who played Cliff has come out and said he supports the Three Lions. There you go, front page news. That's the most important thing going on in the world, according to the Daily Star. Sitcom legend welcomes Three Lions fans to Boston. Cheers to England. Cliff. Okay, that's the front pages. That's the front pages. We'll talk about something else now. We'll just do the poll, though. We usually do the poll around this time of the day, don't we? Chat, can you bring that up on my screen? I think we just asked people about No Stern and Burnham, didn't we? Right, our poll said... Can you bring... Oh, yeah. Will Burnham be better? Be better. That's what we asked. Will Burnham be better? 88% of you say no. 12% say yes. 1,200 votes plus. So it's a stonking win for the nays. 88% say no. Yeah, I think if I was taking that poll and there was no maybe option, I'd probably put no. Yeah, it's got to be a no, isn't it? Couldn't really bring myself to click on yes, I think. We'll see, I suppose. Oh, usually... have a quick look at the price of oil. Should I have a quick look at the price of oil? About what it was when the war started. West Texas, just shy of $76 a barrel. Brent crude, just shy of $80 a barrel. Remarkable, really. Shame it doesn't translate into what we pay at the pump. Okay. That cup is done. I'll revert to my backup water. This is water, not a second cup of tea. All right. Now, I said I'd talk about the inquiry. Okay, because the legacy corporate mainstream media are essentially blanking it. I saw one or two reports on like what the Express or the Mail just mentioning that it had come out. But there's been no deep dive. There's been no analysis. Right, there's been no sort of soul searching about it. None. They're memory holding it. Why? Because the rot goes super deep. The rot goes all the way to the top. It's not just the police. It's the police. It's the council. It's the social workers. It's the local political establishments, councillors, even the national government, MPs, even all up to sort of Lord Ahmed. And, of course, the legacy corporate mainstream media are complicit, aren't they? Continue to be complicit, basically, don't they? I don't want to talk about this. So I read the whole thing. It's not all just victim testimony. Although there is a big chunk of that. And that is, of course, really, really harrowing. It's the same thing. We sort of know what it is. It's that they'll find little girls. It's not just girls as well. It's boys sometimes as well. But largely girls, almost entirely white English girls. Not always from broken homes, but very often. They'll find them and they'll be really nice to them. They'll make them feel important. One of them, Pakistani Muslims, will pretend to be their boyfriend for a while, give them cigarettes and booze and even drugs, and drive them around in cars, make them feel important. Girls that have got not much going on in their life, or in fact their parents are largely absent or whatever, or are already in care and or troubled, truant types. with troubled early lives. They'll find them, and they'll befriend them, make them think that one of them is their boyfriend, and then at some point they're taken to a party. They're taken to a house, and a gang sexual assault takes place. And then from then on, it's you basically belong to us now. If you do or say anything, we'll hurt you, threaten to kill you. We'll hurt your family. We'll burn your house down. No one's going to believe you anyway. The police and the local authorities are in our pocket anyway. And then it's just an endless cycle of being peddled around to dozens, or if not hundreds, of them. Who's them? Pakistani Muslims, largely. Largely. That's why this report is different to some of the other things, like the Jay inquiry, or the Casey report, because this explicitly says 87% of this is done by men with Muslim names. Not necessarily all Mayapuri Pakistanis, but 87% is done by men with Muslim names. Another 7-odd% of it is black people that aren't Muslims, and about 6% odd are white people. There was one victim testimony where it wasn't about Pakistanis, it was about white people. And it's not just children as well. It's not just females, but it's largely underage white British English females. 87%. That's why this report is different and of value, because it expressly says that. Most of the sorts of inquiries we've had before don't. And I won't go into all the details, because this breakfast show is supposed to be clean for kids. It's not supposed to be ultra, ultra dark, but I said I'll talk about it. So I won't go into tons of the detail about the victim testimony. You can read it for yourself. It's easy to find the link. And in fact, Asmongold, well done, sir. He did a really long stream, 6-7 hour long stream, where he read the whole thing verbatim. Search for that. If you want to just hear someone read it to you, he did that. Well done. You've shamed us. We should have done that. Asmongold. Good lad. But needless to say, the victim testimony is nightmarish. It's a lot of it is like out of a horror film. Like, you can't quite believe what you're reading. It's insane. A lot of it. Insane. That very often these girls try to blow the whistle and the police just put pressure on them and say, no, if your story doesn't turn out to be true, you will be prosecuted. Do you want to retract your statement? Or they just simply don't believe them and fob them off and take them back to their abusers. That playing out a lot. Sometimes police officers themselves involved in it. This goes all the way to the top. This is why they don't want it. That's why they don't want it, because it goes all the way to the top. And a lot of this stuff, most of it really, is not new. We've had some great people over the years. Some great people. A lot of this I said on The State of Politics yesterday. So if you watch that, I'll be repeating some of this, but a lot of you didn't. So we've had some great whistleblowers over the years. Jane Senior wrote a book all about this, was involved in it all. In Rochdale, was it? And she said she investigated it and tried to blow the whistle about how all of this is going on. Right, Maggie Oliver, another hero. Maggie Oliver was a cop up north in the Manchester area. Tried to blow the whistle about all this. Also wrote a book. A hero. Peter McLaughlin wrote Easy Meat. These people name names. They name the names of councillors and senior police. We know a lot of people who enabled this. We know their names. None of them really have ever had any sort of justice come to them for what they've done. Senior police that we know just deliberately didn't investigate. Or even then lied about it, said, oh no, we did investigate, or I've never heard of it, it's all news to me. Well, we know that's not true. We know. right? Even Sarah Champion, she's a Labour MP. She's no friend of ours. She's a full-blown lefty, bit of a globalist. But nonetheless, she was MP for Rotherham, wasn't it? She tried to blow the whistle. She wrote an article saying, look, this is happening. This is racially and religiously motivated. Let's not shy away from it. Let's look at this. She was thrown out of government. She was ostracised. She's still an MP now, I believe. But it, like, it sort of basically ruined her career one way or another. She was called racist and bigoted and don't stir division, all that stuff. A number of people over the years, we've had, I mentioned, the Jay inquiry, where they basically come to the conclusion, oh yeah, this is really bad, but white people do it too. Are you going to recommend that any specific councillors and care home workers and police and councillors and even MPs are going to face any consequences for this? No. No. That's the Jay inquiry. The KC report, it goes on and on. Even in 2025, this government brought kicking and screaming to do another inquiry. And Jess Phillips and others said, we're going to make the remit of this about just all general purpose, all sorts of child exploitation. So you're not going to talk about what this report talks about, i.e. that it is to the tune of 87% Pakistani Muslims, largely Maipuri ones. You're not going to talk about their culture, no? You're not going to talk, you're not going to go into any depth, as this report does. Look, the whole chapter, the influence of Islam, not going to talk about any of that. Where a lot of these girls were told, this is being done to you because you're kafir, because you're white, because you dare to sort of walk around without a man and without your head covered. So it's open season on you. Jess Phillips' inquiry was not going to do any of that. Isn't going to do any of that. Like all the other ones, like the Jay inquiry didn't. Too scared of that. But the culture in Islam, particular types of Islam, is that as an invading force, it's your spoils. It's your spoils. The English girls walking around, again, without a male protecting them, without their head covered, they're just a piece of meat. They're easy meat, as Peter McLaughlin would put it. They're easy meat. Do whatever you want to them. Even someone like Tommy Robinson, try and go on Breakfast News one time and start to talk about something along those lines. Just begin to. It's like, no, cut him off, get him off air, ostracize him. Right? And they don't want to talk about it because it goes all the way to the top. It will go all the way to the top, to the very top of police, to the very top of the civil service even. Very, very deliberately. It's not that they accidentally failed year after year after year to do anything about this, to investigate it properly and hold people to account. It's not an accident. It's a result of anti-racism ideology. Well, it is. Scared of being called racist. It's a bit more than just that. Scared of, well, who's going to call you a racist? Or the Daily Mail or something? It's because they believe in anti-racism ideology. That they see this going on and you can't call it out because that would be wrong. Crazy, isn't it? What a disgusting, perverted, subversive thing that is, anti-racism ideology. So you'll just let it go on, the mass rape. How many? 250,000 at least, and that's almost certainly a very low ball. If you take examples of Rochdale, Rotherham, wherever. In a relatively small town like that, it's 14,000 girls. If you extrapolate that out, so all the places we know, at least it's gone on to some extent, you're looking at a minimum of 250,000 girls. In fact, it's quite likely it's much more like a million, because loads of this doesn't ever get reported. And it's not just sexual exploitation, it's also torture and sometimes murder. One of these victim testimonies was that in order to intimidate one of the girls, they murdered another girl in front of her. Sexual torture and even murder. Absolutely disgusting. And the reason why this report is important, much more important than the others, is because there's whole sections here about conclusions, recommendations, legislative response, another type of response, next steps. This report doesn't just go, look at this testimony of horrible, nightmarish things. Bad, isn't it? No, it goes further than that. Not just talking about demographics and culture and Islam and homegrown enablers. But it's got conclusions and recommendations. What should happen next? And it goes into quite a lot of detail. 30, 40 pages of that stuff. What we should do next. I mean, let's have a look. Page 154. Have a quick look. Just a little scroll down. Okay, look, comes to all sorts of conclusions. It doesn't pull any punches. Read it for yourself if you're interested. Doesn't pull any punches. Look, about recommendations. Reform of the criminal justice response, the two-tier things, that sentences, quite often these people get, when a few of them, a small number of them, a token number of them, do get arrested, that their sentences are often crazily small. Look, immigration, deportations and denaturalizations. Did you get anything like that in the J inquiry? No. No. Not remotely. This is why you should want a restore government. Reform hasn't come out with a document like this, have they? Nigel says he was going to do it. And then reneged on that, didn't he? So, oh, it won't have any teeth. It won't have any actual power. Nonetheless, it's worth doing it, isn't it? Apparently not. Leave it to Rupert Lowe. Immigration, deportations and denaturalizations, yeah. Again, remigration is the clement option at this point. And that their families cover it up as well, actively cover it up. You don't want to break up families when it comes to remigration. They can all go, can't they? Need to change rules about children giving evidence, that the Crown Prosecution Service itself needs to look inside itself and do better, be different. An overseas task force. A fair amount of these girls get trafficked to Kashmir or wherever, forced into an Islamic marriage and then trafficked out of the country. So an overseas task force. It goes on and on and on. A legislative response. Look how many, a few pages talk about what would actually need to be done. Make it enshrined in law that children can never consent. That was one of the things that came up a lot again and again and again from the victim testimony, is that some 14-year-old girl has consented to it. Oh, we can't do anything because she's just in a relationship with this 30-year-old Pakistani man. We can't do anything. How can a child consent? Is it statutory rape or isn't it? A lot of these care homes and police didn't seem to care. Again, they will take them back to the place where they were abused, to their abusers, take them back and leave them there. When their families keep complaining about it, take the families to task about it. One terrible story of some father who's trying to do his best to try and stop it. And the police are telling him, just shut up, be quiet, stop causing problems. Okay. Laws around Sharia marriage. There needs to be an all front line response. Needs to be a whole different range of things that need to be done. From policing to healthcare. again, lots of times these care homes or even hospitals, they're seeing physical evidence of abuse or even torture. And they're like, oh, well, essentially that's response. What can we do? We can't cause community tensions. Send her back. Send her back out there to continue to be groomed. It's not a good enough word, is it? Groomed. Number of these girls that have been killed or even committed suicide that never show up in any of these statistics because they're dead now. It ruins their lives. You go, oh, it's a survivor. It's a survivor. It doesn't really cut it, does it? You're a survivor. You're psychologically and emotionally ruined. Often physically ruined. Sometimes your whole family. The trauma of it. Private prosecutions and civil litigation. Does the Jay inquiry talk about any of that? Did it? Restore's talking about it. Because we've got the names of a lot of these people. We've got the names of a lot of the counsellors and police people. Care home workers. That are responsible. Beyond just the actual perpetrators themselves. None of them really have ever been brought to account. They could be. They can be. Next steps. A number of key things. Just a few bullet points. What we would do if we were in government next. Okay. Very dark for a morning show. But there it is. I said I would read it and I said I would talk about it. I'm not being paid to not talk about it. Okay, it's important. And Asmongold, thank you. Honestly, thank you for doing that crazy long stream where you read the whole thing. Well done. Okay, let's move on. In fact, it's already 2:15, so... The main story today is Keir Starmer, isn't it? And also, over the weekend, or was it Friday, a knife-wielding man, white man, in Edinburgh started stabbing up people, didn't he? Shouting that he's doing this in retribution for all the girls, all our daughters that have been abused. The left went a bit crazy about that over the weekend. I mean, I suggest they don't look back in anger, actually. I suggest they realise that's just what happens now. That's just part and parcel of living in a city now. Don't look back in anger. The most important thing, Narinda, is that you don't look back in anger. The mainstream media are largely memory-holing it, though. It's not on the front pages anywhere. It's not at the top of any of the main websites. He seems to have just moved on from that. It's all about Keir. I mean, the government may well fall today, so... All right. Let's have a look at... On this day in history. Down through the centuries, what happened of note? I like doing that bit, you like doing that bit. Okay, on the 22nd of June, what happened? In the year 1633, Galileo Galilei recants his heretical position that the Earth... orbiting the sun is at odds with the Bible and church teaching. The Vatican apologises in 1992 for how it handled the case. Yeah. So Galileo Galilei, in the age of sort of the first lenses, optics, telescope, could see the Medici stars, the moons of Jupiter, orbiting Jupiter. And he was able to build on the work of Copernicus and say that the Earth orbits the sun, not the other way round. But the Catholic Church of the age said that's wrong, and if you don't recant what you've said, we'll torture you, and here's the implements of torture we will use to torture you to death. They didn't actually torture him, they just threatened him with it and showed him the implements of the torture, and he decided to recant and keep his mouth shut and never publish anything again and live sort of under house arrest for the rest of his life. On this day in 1675, Royal Greenwich Observatory is established in England by King Charles II. Still there to this day, isn't it? Up on Greenwich Hill. Greenwich Park, lovely park. you've got a bit of time over the next week, if the weather's really hot and you live in London, go there, visit it. It's nice. Okay, on this day in 1772, Somerset versus Stuart court case finds slavery unsupported by English common law, encouraging the abolitionist movement. You know, it was a sort of a landmark case where there was a black slave in Britain and his owners wanted to send him back to the Caribbean, and a judge ruled that no, that wasn't lawful. Well, there's no precedent for anything like that in English common law. That's not right. Sort of a landmark case. Something a little bit, not really, but some sort of equivalent with Dred versus Scott or whatever. Okay, yeah, the abolitionist movement. It's not that long after, is it, that we get the abolition of slavery, or the slave trade, first and foremost, in Britain. Okay, on this day in 1848, beginning of the June Days uprising in Paris by French workers. 1848, if you didn't know, that's a year of revolutions, 1848. I think I've threatened to make content about that before, haven't yet, do a long-form bit of content about everything that went down in Europe in 1848. From Budapest to Bucharest, to Vienna, to Prague, to Berlin. All over Europe there was uprising, socialist, workers, liberal uprisings against various monarchies and censorship, various things. The Russians put it down. They didn't. The Russians just stamped on it. In England, we have like the Chartist movement, much more genteel in England, Chartists. But all across Europe, there was revolutions. All across Prussia and Austria-Hungary. And in France, of course. In France, the French monarchy fell again. Well, in the end, the troops, French troops, had to put that down. With prejudice, killing a few thousand, deporting another few thousand to Algeria. But yeah, 1848, super important year for European history. Most people don't know a great deal about it or anything about it, really. On this day in 1865, the CSS Shenandoah fires the last shot of the American Civil War in the Bering Strait to indicate surrender. I've got content all about that. Or actually, it's on much more on History Bro. There, that one, check. The other camera. Yeah. On my other channel, History Bro, fair amount of content about the US Civil War. My very, very, very first video is all about the US Civil War ever. My very first video on YouTube's ever. Okay, on this day in 1941, Operation Barbarossa. Nazi Germany and its allies invade the Soviet Union during World War II, the largest military operation in history. And the war in the East, on the Ostfront, the conflicts between Herr Hitler's Nazis and old Joe Stalin's Reds, the biggest conflict ever. That alone, just the war in the East, the Ostfront, is the biggest war ever. In almost every metric you can imagine. The biggest clash of titans there ever was. Probably ever will be. Biggest tank battles, biggest aerial engagements, biggest encirclements, longest front, biggest numbers of men in the field, etc., etc., etc. Huge. I mean, later in that year, you've got, Operation Typhoon, where Army Group Center pushes for Moscow, tries to encircle and take Moscow. Of course, we all know, ultimately, the Germans lost and the Russians won, don't we? All right. Shall we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let's see what we've got. Okay. So, we do the Rumble Rants first. Global Church History in at number one. Yes. Today is a good day. Global Church History. In at number one, 6:45 in the morning. You've got to get up early in the morning, literally, to beat Global Church History. Reigning, defending, and still. He says, on this day in 1535 AD, St. John Fisher was martyred for his Catholic faith. Oh, Bishop, the Bishop of Rochester, Bishop Fisher. On Bowdoin's Epochs at the moment, I'm doing a series all about Henry VIII. Had a brief hiatus to do the French Revolution with Apostolic Majesty, but I'm actually in the middle of a long series about Henry VIII. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I covered the bit where Bishop Fisher, Bishop of Rochester, or the Catholics would know him as St. John, St. John Fisher, was martyred. It's when Henry VIII says, I'm the head of the church in England now. Your spiritual master is now me, not the Pope in Rome. Very few people didn't like that. The most famous ones are Thomas More and Bishop Fisher, both of whom lost their heads over it. Or did they burn Fisher alive? I can't remember if Fisher actually got burnt alive or whether he was just beheaded. Thomas More was certainly beheaded. Anyway, either way, they paid the ultimate price. There you go. Fisher just said, no, I don't accept that. No. The Pope is the head of the church. That's it. Kill me if you must. Henry was like, done. You don't really mess with Henry VIII when he's made his mind up about something. He will kill you. Okay. And the other factoid this morning you say in 1611, Henry Hudson was set adrift in the Hudson Bay, never to be seen or heard from again. Hudson of Hudson Bay, of the Hudson Bay Company, etc., the River Hudson. He suffered a mutiny. And his men put him in a little rowboat with him and his son and a handful of others who they were mutinying against, set him off. And he was never heard from again. You can only imagine they died in the wilderness. Okay, next one. Geoffrey Farno says, we didn't deserve you, Sir Keir. To quote the dream of Gerontius, my work is done, my task is over. And so I come, taking it home from the crown, for the crown is won. Hallelujah, forevermore. The dream of Gerontius. I should know that. I feel like I should know that. I don't know it in detail, but it's a great quote though. A very apt quote. Yeah, in memory of Keir Starmer. He's gonna have to get in the dustbin of history, isn't he? Okay, St. Luke, Luke Street 91. It's Luke Stewart, says, just wondering if you're going to cover the guy in Scotland that everyone wants to buy a pint, who gave the religion of peace a piece of their own peace. I did talk about it briefly, didn't I? So, yeah. Okay. Fortune and Barbara, how are you? Say, good morning, Bo. All right? Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, mate. You? Hope you are. The Tubber was good. I guess that's Dan Tubb. The Tubber was good, but it's fantastic to have the captain of breakfast back. I know it won't be much better, but I'm glad the Starminator is on his way out. Have a great day. Yeah. You know, I hold out a tiny, tiny, tiny slither of hope that Andy Bumham won't actually like bring in ID cards, for example. Sort of hasn't been talking about ID cards all that much, has he? Like promising, as soon as I get into number 10, we're doing the ID card thing. He hasn't said that. Is there much hope that it'll be any better, really? I don't know. We shall see, I suppose. Luke again says, maybe Trump should hand them photos of what the US did to Japan, apparently showing, I guess Iran, what he did to Japan, apparently showing a photo of one of the Taliban leaders in his first presidency was a big help. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, they probably know, don't they? But plus the Iranians don't seem to really buckle under threats all that much, do they? To be fair to them, some small amount of credit where credit's due. I am no fan of Islamic theocracies, trust me, bro. But they don't seem to just crumble under that sort of pressure, do they? Okay, TomRat247 says, the funniest outcome Keir could actually enact would be to give a resignation speech coming out of a meeting with the King to ask him to dissolve Parliament for a general election. I mean, that might happen. I don't think it's on the cards. The rumour, the scuttlebutt around Westminster is that won't happen. But It would be quite funny if it did. Keir Starmer comes out this morning in like an hour or so, 2 hours, comes out, stands in front of the little lectern and says, right, it's general election time. Dear all my own Labour MPs, how do you like me now? You're going to lose your job. You want me to lose my job? How about we all lose our jobs? Or nearly all. Would be funny. All right, Luke again says, wouldn't it be better that Andy doesn't call a general election? Because if he did one straight after going Labour probably does. Sorry. Maybe there should be some punctuation in there. Sorry, Luke, I know you're a super fan. I don't mean to have a go at your punctuation, but straight after going there, Labour probably does better than him sticking around and dealing with more migrant crime. I get what you're saying. Wouldn't it be better if Andy doesn't call a general election? Well, because it gives the country more time to decide that they absolutely don't want Labour anywhere in the country anymore. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Okay. Fallen Firebird said, there's a game called Metal Garden about trying to escape a labyrinthine megastructure. In the end, it turns out that they're inside another incomprehensibly sized megastructure. That's Labour now. It's interesting. I've never heard of that, Metal Garden. That's an interesting sort of dystopian idea, yeah. You're trapped inside a panopticon. You do somehow escape it, and you're in you find out that you're actually in a much, much bigger panopticon, yeah. Okay, PigDog5150 says, get me out of Kier. Direct reporting from the Ukrainian rent boy trial. Oh, boodumts. He's here a week, people. Okay, Luke again says, did you hear that apparently a movie called Citizen Vigilante got banned in Germany? I haven't heard this. Oh, I think Nate mentioned it on State of Politics. Go to the Stain Cam. I think Nate mentioned it really in passing yesterday, but I haven't seen it. I'm not aware of really what it is about. It's got banned in Germany. I wonder if they'll ban it in Britain as well, as it touches on a lot of migrant crime against the natives. Oh, okay. What's it called? Citizen Vigilante. There you go. A film called Citizen Vigilante, if you're so inclined to look that up. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, among the factors that infuriates me about the rape gang atrocity is the hypocrisy of the caring left. Yeah, shouldn't you always believe women? Not if they're working class white girls, largely from the north, though. Ignore those. In fact, ostracise those. Yeah, the caring left. These are people who supposedly care about the most vulnerable in society. Right. Unless they're white and working class. And they'll throw them away like a piece of rubbish into an old dark storeroom. Demonic enemies. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and the last one from Luke again says, if you want another thing to be pissed out, did you guys hear about Paul Powelsland facing up to 2 years in jail for cleaning the river while some guy who assaulted 6 girls only got 16 months? I didn't hear about that. Paul Powelsland. He got jailed for 2 years for trying to clean a river. I've not heard about that. That sounds like an appalling injustice. Ugh. There was a migrant lad under 18 himself, wasn't there? It was more than once this has happened. Committed a full sexual assault, a rape, and isn't given a custodial sentence at all. They're told to do some community service and go on a course that teaches you about what's right and wrong. This guy got 2 years for trying to clean a river. Well, there's the example of Sam Mellier, isn't there? Put some stickers up. You need to be banged up, mate. Mad, isn't it? A real rain politically must come, mustn't it? There must be a reckoning for all this. There must be a readjustment. The elastic band must snap back. It must do. We can't go on like this. All right, let's do the YouTube ones. What have we got here? David Betts says, morning from Colombia, celebrating the commies losing an election yesterday. Oh, I don't know anything about that. I don't keep abreast of Colombian politics particularly. That sounds good. Was very close and Pedro is demanding recounts. Cry harder. Okay, that's news to me, quite literally news to me. Colombia has narrowly amissed a communist government, have they? Lovely. If that's the case, sounds great. Lovely jubbly. Good. Quiet blackpilled says, your Aussie cousins have been proper sore losers. Losers really just crapping on America to excuse their loss. Unbecoming of the land of Severin. I don't know exactly what you're referencing there. It looks like an American is dunking on Aussies there. You're going to have that, Aussies? You can have that? I don't know what... been sore losers. Oh, is this about football?
Yeah, the World Cup.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. I thought there was some sort of broader, wider political thing you were talking about. It's just football. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Luke Stewart. He's doing Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Brilliant. The best among us. Luke Stewart says, g'day, Bo. G'day, mate. And everyone, how was everyone's weekend? Mine was very good, other than a big chunk of it had to spend reading the second half of that report, which was harrowing. I think if you added a third option to the vote of no change, it would have won a landslide, and I was very upset with Dan, no BBC Pigeon. Well, in our poll this morning, will Burnham be better or worse? Will he be better, yes or no, or there'll be no real change? Yeah, that probably, if we'd put that option in, that probably would have won, wouldn't it? Yeah, probably. Quite Blackpilled again says, I heard there was a possibility of USA playing England on the 4th of July. Would you really root for England whilst your country is run by traitors? Yeah, I would root for England over the USA in football. Yeah, because I'm an Englishman. My dad was born in the United States, but I was born here. I've got a UK passport. My DNA is thoroughly, thoroughly English. I'm a Cornishman, first and foremost, weirdly, because I was actually born and raised in the southeast, but I'm largely Cornish. So, of course, I'm going to cheer for England. Quite Blackpilled's trying to... They're stirring. They're stirring the pot. It's quite funny. Quite funny, actually. We don't know if England will play the USA. It depends where you finish in your group, doesn't it? England will probably win our group. We'll have to see how it shakes out. But could happen. Okay. Luke Stewart again says, maybe Trump made that post knowing how everyone does the opposite of what he says. They'll keep queer Stalin in just to despite Trump. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, they're Trump derangement syndrome. Keir's Trump derangement syndrome is such. It was a fight. That was the thing that galvanised him. No, I'm going to fight on after all. Just to prove the Donald wrong. Kick You in the Throat, that's their name, at Kick You in the Throat, says, British FIFA tourism in the US has white-pilled many to the truth that the USA is what happens when the English government gets out of the way of its own people for 250 years and buggers off. Okay. I mean, despite the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, there's still lots of things you can't do or say in the United States, though, aren't there, as well? Now, you walk down the street in certain states with an open alcohol container, you're in trouble with the law. The land of the free. Mm-hmm. The right to bear arms. Well, you do have to jump through a lot of, in places like California, jump through a lot of hoops, a lot of red tape. You can get guns in Britain, by the way. Not handguns, but you can get like a 50 cal rifle. Again, a lot of hoops to jump through, but okay. All right. A few more. Real Mr. Bra. That's his name. That's quite funny. Real Mr. Bra says, Starmer should pretend to resign, but then at the lectern reveal Burnham's head. Holding it by the hair. Proper Conan the Barbarian type stuff. Can't condone. Can't condone. But, I mean, if we were living in a cartoon, this was a Rick and Morty cartoon, that would be funny, wouldn't it? Okay. Brandon Warsfold says, to deal with channel problem, we need to send in the SBS, the special bow service, to clear them out. Yes, I like it. Yes. Special bow service. Bow's Brigade. Bow's Battalion. Yeah. Love it. Okay. Emily for Restore says, worst fear. Burnham takes us even more left, unites the crazies, greens, Islamo commies, etc., and is harder to beat in the general election. Also, F the IRGC. Oh, I concur with everything you're saying there. It would be the worst fear that somehow Andy Burnham creates in a coalition of all the traitors. Yeah. Would be a worry, wouldn't it? And also F the IRGC, yeah. Okay. Kiefer Brown says, I recommend that Ellie turns the Inquiry Report into a series of freemium podcasts, systematically covering the entire content with commentary discussion. That's not a bad idea. I'll take that to Mr. Carl Benjamin. In fact, I feel so shamed by Asmongold that even though it'd be copying him, if Carl wants to, it's up to him. Something like this would be up to him. Do a similar thing. Read it all out. But perhaps an even better one is to do a series of exactly what you've said. It's not a bad idea. A series of freemium podcasts going through it line by line with commentary and discussion about it. It's not a bad idea at all. Yeah. Okay. Tituri 2 says, NHL, can I read that? It's one of those ones, it's borderline. Thanks for the super chat. I'm going to err on the side of caution and not read that. It's not crazily spicy, but it's one of those things where you just might get in trouble with YouTube for T's and C's. So thank you for the $2. That's the thing. Thank you to anyone that sends in a super chat or a Rumble rant. But if it's too spicy, if it's going to get the channel in trouble, I am constrained by the T's and C's. Yeah, my producer Jack just put his head above the... Yeah, he's shaking his head. Okay, all right. Emily for Restore says, Dad or Survivor Marlon West for Restore Mayor of Manchester. I know him, amazing man. Wow, okay. So I mentioned earlier, didn't I, that there was the story of a dad there who did everything he tried. He tried everything he could to save and protect his daughter from these horrors. And he became the target of the authorities. I assumed it was a fake name, but that suggests that's his real name, Marlon. Is he up in the Manchester region? He's prepared to step up. It could be powerful, couldn't it? Could be powerful. Okay. Still a few more to get through, so I'll whip through them. Deb Coulser doesn't say anything and just gives a little bit of money there. Thank you for that. King Philip, 1861, says, Dan was brilliant Friday. Yeah, I did watch most of it. I watched sort of 70-80% of it. And yeah, he did a good job. It was funny. It was funny. Yeah. Kick You in the Throat Again says, American hot take. King George III had his issues and was coincidentally king when we had our revolution, but he seemed like a good man. If not a great one, fair in dealings, dutiful to subjects. By the time of George III, Parliament was largely controlled policy and government. The age of the king controlling policy and government had passed by that point. But yeah, I mean, George III wasn't some sort of crazy... Well, actually, he was crazy, wasn't he? But, I mean, he wasn't some sort of mad tyrant, like, insisting that he do everything and control government, and he was completely tyrannical. It wasn't him, was it? By the late 18th century, power had really passed to the commons. Okay. Tatum 2733 says, how can anyone trust us at this point? We've attacked, I guess the Americans. We've attacked Iran twice during negotiations, and now Trump says that. I love my country, but damn, hate this. Yeah, I mean, fair enough if that's how you feel. Seems like, well, at least one of those times the Iranians broke the ceasefire, wasn't it? At least one of those times, wasn't it? And they downed that helicopter that had to crash land on that promontory, Omani promontory. But okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, I get the sentiment. It's bad, isn't it, when you love your country, but you see it being run by people you profoundly don't agree with. It's horrible, isn't it? Okay. Luke Stewart says, he's talking about the football. The Aussies lost to the USA, and he was saying Steve Irwin. Right, okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about the confusion. Jankus the Great says, it's rare I make these live streams. Good morning from Texas. Good morning from the Lone Star State. I'd love to visit Texas. I've got content all about the Alamo, if you're interested. Long-form content about the Alamo. Quite a long one. One of my better ones as well, I think. Santa Ana, the Texan Revolution, the whole nine yards. Jim Bowie. Okay, as little as £5 a month, bronze team membership. Good morning from Texas. Good morning to you too. Quite Blackpilled says, cheers Luke Stewart, RIP Steve Irwin. Yeah, I was a massive fan of Steve Irwin, like at the time. And I remember this clearly. I was on holiday in Italy when the news broke that he'd died, been killed by that stingray. And I remember being properly upset about it. I didn't cry, but I was properly gutted. You know, quite often someone you like, you're a fan of, and you hear they die, and you're just like, oh, well, anyway. You know, right? When Steve Irwin died, I was like, oh. I was honestly like, I remember it clearly. I was on holiday. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Steve Irwin, really? Yeah, RIP Steve Irwin. Yeah, for real. All right, the last three. What have we got here? CG Mam says, Restore's red list is interesting. But India has leverage. 40% of UK pharma supply has no alternative. Tata's JLR, Port Talbot support 300,000 jobs. Move out of Midlands becomes wasteland, which is scary. Okay, a number of interesting points you've made there, I guess. We'll make do. We'll make do. We'll mend and make do. We've done it before. If there's one thing that the English, British, are good at, is surviving through adversity. We've done it many, many, many times throughout history. Oh, like you can't deport millions of people because it would damage the economy. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Don't worry about it. Not that you are, just, you know. We'll survive. We'll survive without those 10 to 20 million people that have come here in the last generation. We'll be all right. Okay, Luke Stewart again says, there's 1,200 people watching, but less than 600 likes. Come on, people, let's get some likes for the good man. Yeah, smash the like button. Like and subscribe. Yeah, subscribe to the channel. Press the like button. Get the bell on. It's got to be done. You know it makes sense. Okay, and the last one here. Tatum2733 says, I meant the opening attacks during negotiations. All right, okay, fair enough. Sorry if I slightly misunderstood. Okay, that's the show. It's now 18 minutes past 9 in the AM on British summertime on the 22nd of June. In the year of our Lord, 2026, you've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Basically, the best people on earth tuning in live to the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. O's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. Without you, it isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Try and keep cool. If you don't weigh a great amount, or you're young or old, or you've got old, a dicky ticker, if you've got a weak heart, don't jump into a freezing cold river or lake or reservoir. Cool off in some other way. Otherwise, try and enjoy the weather if you can. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. You've only got this day once in history. Once it's gone, you'll never get it back. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Try and make it count. All right, without being too preachy about it, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.